Well, today on Barbecue Sunday, we continue our sermon series, Upside Down Kingdom, Living in the Surprising, Subversive Way of Jesus. I will never again make a sermon title with an alliteration because it totally messes you up. The Surprising, Subversive Way of Jesus. Today we're talking about gratitude, which is fitting because the upcoming newsletter, which is coming out next Sunday, I promise, is all about gratitude and a great way to kick off summer in our lives, because the truth is, gratitude, does it come naturally to you? Are you naturally a very thankful person? I'm not. I can't force it. It's hard for me to manufacture all the time. I wish I could just click on Amazon and buy it, and it would come to my house and it would stick with me all the time. You could pick it up at a store or have it delivered. If only it was that easy. There was a little boy who was asked to say grace at the table, and he looked out at the table, not like our table today, out in the hall, can't wait. But he looked out on this table and he saw a roasted chicken, and then he saw asparagus and broccoli and carrots and this green thing in a bowl, salad. And he said, well, everybody bow your head. And he said, well, Lord, I don't much like the looks of it, but I'm thankful for it anyway. Sounds like the thankfulness of a teenager or an older adult or maybe myself. I think saying thank you is one thing, but it's another thing to live life with gratitude, isn't it? To live life where you're able to see the good and move forward in a way that's positive. Gratitude's hard because it's a little bit like a New Year's resolution, right? Where you start off saying, I'm going to be grateful and I'm going to be thankful and I'm going to think of all the good things. And yet by the next week, it's all the New Year's resolutions are out the window. And you're dwelling more on, you know, maybe resentment or old habits creep in and frustrations pile up and real life happens and gratitude's out the window, isn't it? Gratitude is more than a feeling. It's more than simply good manners or saying grace or saying thank you. Gratitude is a life that we are blessed with, that we can live. In our passage from Colossians, the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of followers in a church that are trying to figure out how to live gratitude. They're ordinary people. They bring different personalities, different political viewpoints, all of it, and they're under one house. And yet, so with that, there comes troubles. And so the Apostle Paul astutely pens this letter, sends it to the Colossians because they had differing opinions and competing teachings. So he writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, right? Paul didn't need to speak about peace. He needed to because there was conflicts. He needed to remind them that they were one body because there was some divisions in their midst. It's pretty simple stuff. And he had to remind them to be thankful three times in this short little passage because obviously ingratitude had taken root and it was upending their joy and life in general. So instead, Paul recognizes the danger of what it is to lose sight when we stop being grateful. And he tells them, you know, that the peace of Christ is what is going to bring you through this. The word of Christ is what's going to help you from being drowned out by this frustration and discontent in your life. Because we all face discontent and frustration, do we not? It's not just me when I'm trying to take apart an engine and I'm afraid of what's going to happen next. What if I blow the gasket, right? What am I going to do next? Well, in a world that often seems devoid of peace and is more focused on fear than grace and thankfulness, it's easy to slip into these old habits of complaint and comparison and entitlement rather than gratitude. Turn on the news 5 minutes, boom, bad news. Likely to hear more bad than good. And the realities of life, too. failing bodies as we age. Anybody have that? Financial pressure. You're young and you got your first job, trying to buy a home, right? Or trying to rent. It's hard. Disappointments in life, family struggles, grief in this fleeting world. It's hard to keep up with how fast things are changing. AI is so quick now. You can get answers anything right away. You double check it. When we're frustrated by all of our circumstances, disappointed by how others have treated us, discouraged by the challenges that you face in life, you can't figure out that engine, right? You begin to feel what ingratitude is, like a New Year's resolution that you start and then things pile up and it disappears really clack fast, and long before you think about it, it's into the background of your life. We see this in our families, in our workplaces, our communities, and we can lose sight of the fact that there is good, that God's gifts are fresh and new every day. And it's hard to have eyes that are open to it when we're dwelling on the negative. I have what they probably diagnosed today as ADHD, where you can have a hard time focusing on one thing and you've got a bunch of things going on at once. And yet when I finally am able to focus, I can focus ultra focus on something when I've spent like 2 hours messing around trying to get into step. But then I can focus, and very, very much so. However, if you try to talk to me, I will not listen to you. So when I'm very focused, yet we can do that with worry. How many worriers here? You can worry ultra focused on that problem, and yet you can put all of that energy and nothing else is going to tell you. You're worried about this problem. Yeah, you experience that too. It's difficult when these things happen. And sometimes complaint and discouragement are right around the corner of worry. And when that happens, we stop living in the moment, in the present. Just being present. The Blue Jays game's on and you're thinking about the 5 things you need to do at home, right? That's no fun. You know, we can maybe miss the roses that bloom, or the songbird that's singing in the morning, or the laughter of your grandchildren, because you're thinking about getting back out there and doing what you wanted to do. The blessings are still there, but they become crowded with worry, concerns, without even realizing our focus shifts from the good to not so good. The goal is that gratitude, and the good news is that gratitude can be cultivated. We don't have to force it or manage it. Paul says that it actually comes from the peace of Christ. You already have gratitude. You already have the peace of Christ. And so Paul is talking to the Colossians, and he says it doesn't start with you, but it starts with God. It starts with the peace of Christ that has been given to you, been gifted to you. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. In other words, let Christ have the final say in your life. Let it rule in your heart. Let it be the final authority that says, that's it. I'm going to be at peace. I'm not going to worry. Easier said than done, but take it for what it is. That word that Paul uses in the Greek has the connotation of athletics. Any athletes here? Yes, swimmers. We got swimmers and horseback riders. I'd love to do a horseback riding trip. Wouldn't that be fun to be like a cowboy out there or something? Anyways, that's inside voice, Sean. What are you doing? But it refers in athletics to a referee or an umpire who makes the final call. And once the final call has been set, the crowd can't change it. Once the umpire or referee says it's a goal, there is instant replay. But in this case, no instant replay. Christ has made the ruling. You are at peace. The Colossians are at peace. No more striving, no more competing. In the spiritual realm, Christ has made the final call, and this peace is not something we need to create for ourselves. It's been given. We just need to start living our lives for good. It's a gift before it ever becomes a practice, and that's the good thing. You have it before you can manufacture it. Jesus himself said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I give not as the world gives." You know, not transactional. Christ doesn't give it and then take it back. He gives it like an umpire. He proclaims it. It's done. You have it. It's yours. There is a reason Paul immediately follows this up by saying, be thankful. You've got it. You've got the goods. You have what you need. Live it. Live thankfulness. Be thankful because Christ's peace has taken root in your lives, in my life. And perhaps that's the real invitation of this passage. Not that gratitude is something that we just simply say before we eat or we say throughout the day, but it's something we get to live day in and day out. We become people of gratitude, which is hard for people like me, maybe you too. And this is how God's peace begins to move out into the world. Through gratitude, when we slow down, take a breath, smell the roses, right? Listen to the songbirds. Slow down. Rest in Christ's peace that we already have, that's with us already. No matter the season that we find ourselves in, when your health is failing, when you've lost a loved one, we can still be people of gratitude. Seeing the blessings as we slow down in our lives. Gratitude begins to overflow beyond ourselves too, to the people around us in our lives. You know, I was reminded of this recently. I play hockey in the Old Boys League here in Uxbridge, and one of our guys before the last game said he had chest pains. And so his friend said, "I'm taking you to Newmarket." He said, no, I'm fine." But he took him anyways. He got to Newmarket. They said, "Oh boy, this is beyond us." They sent him down south to Toronto. Within, you know, hours, they said, "You need a heart transplant. You're not going to make it." Within days, a donor, you know, something happened. But anyways, a donor was available. There was a heart donor. He had his heart transplant. He was back at home. And then just this past week, we were celebrating with him. Not a person didn't feel gratitude that he was there with us, right? The friend who pushed for him to go to hospital, the heart donor, the doctors that who recognized how serious it was, the heart donor, you know, the operation went going so well. All of these things, we all were like, there's more going on here than simply we can just say is happening. Gratitude for all of this, it was prevalent throughout our meeting together, this party, this barbecue once a year. You know, it reminded me that it grows gratitude when we take time to stop and think about and observe the good that's all around us. And that's true for all of us, that it doesn't have to be a dramatic event to slow us down. We can start living gratitude right now in our lives. The beauty of creation all around us, the people in our lives, the meals that we get to share together around the table, all of this is blessing, ordinary gifts that we often overlook. So perhaps the invitation this morning, real simple, slow down. Let the peace of Christ that's present, rule in your heart. Notice the goodness that's all around you every day. And so as we do, may gratitude become more than words that we speak or words that we pray, but the life that we get to live. Amen.